The people are the market.
Exactly.
They run the market. And so interference in that true free market is problematic. Welcome to the North Point of View here with Dr. Walter Kimsies. Walter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey man, how are you?
Oh man, stock market's down. People are getting nervous about their jobs. It's not good.
Yeah, and the last podcast was all about the R word.
Right.
Right. But
No, it's not good, Mark. I mean, we're out there firing people. It's, you know, some people think it's a good thing and they're kind of happy about it, but you know, the Schadenfreude, right? The joy at other people's misfortune is there's too much of that going on, you know?
And there's there's a dose of medicine that we're taking right now, right?
Exactly. So you get me started, man. I'll make the list of things that I just think are terrible about the world.
However, by the way, we're renaming the podcast. It's no longer the North Point of View. It's the Gong Show Part 2 or 2025, right? Who was the host of the Gong Show? We gotta do some research.
Oh, I did. I looked at it. I forgot his name. It was the short guy with the curly hair. Chuck something. Anyways, that's a trivia question for you guys. So let us know in the comments, who was the host of the Gong Show.
However, as we look at where we are right now, all the choppiness, I mean, it's cross currents, right? And it's creating the chop in the water. There's a better way.
There is a better way.
And that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Exactly. Look, it's been decades that we felt the government was too bloated and inefficient. Nobody was getting the job done. So I understand having to, you know, really shake things up a bit and push hard. And even the guys who are normally Democrats are behind the fact that, you know, we have opportunity here to pull back a bit. But, you know, trying to do it in 6 weeks when you could do it in 6 months is not a good idea. A better way is to come in with plans, not just run around and randomly pick things and start slashing it without doing the research. I remember some of the comments that I heard about Social Security. And, you know, if you'd done your research, you would realize that there are lists of Social Security potential recipients, and there's the list of people who are getting Social Security payments. And they're not the same. So there are people in old rosters who, at this point, would probably be 200 years old, but they're not getting payments. That's You can't take an old database that's obviously out of date and use it to say that there's inefficiencies. No, there probably is in the current database. And researching it properly, observing confidentiality, et cetera, doesn't take that much more time. We live in a world of big data.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, you know, especially with, you know, with Ramaswamy and Musk. Is, you know, they may come from tech firms, but they don't appreciate the tech that they have. And you can get through lots of data. I mean, I work with a couple of guys, they're brilliant, you know, with big data. When we work on a project, they're writing code as I'm speaking to pull the numbers we need from a database of 10 million. And right then and there, I did a project once about the right whales. I got all this data from the pilots, was given to us. I was at Georgia Port Authority. They emailed it to us. I jumped in the car. I drove home. It was a 20-minute drive. Got on my computer, and my colleague, who was in Seattle, I said, okay, let's take a look at it. He goes, yeah, so here's how it parses out. And in 20 minutes, he took millions of records, and he had it all worked out, and we knew what the arguments were going to have to be. And in the old days, with that much data, it would have taken me several days. And just getting used to the fact that there are people who can rip through those databases so quickly. And no, we didn't hire those guys. You know, we have this old guy in his 50s and, you know, running around with the chainsaw and all that silly stuff. No, we got some amazing talent out there.
So let's use it.
Let's use that, okay?
Yeah.
And let's give it a little more time. Do you really have to get rid of 50,000 government employees within 4 weeks? No. So there were some good things done, like giving people the opportunity to leave if they wanted to, right? Voluntary resignations. That's good. But the rest of it was not needed. You don't need to catch state departments of health and education, et cetera, you know, flat-footed.
Now, we're gonna touch on trade, tariffs. We've got shipbuilding. We've got a lot to cover in a short amount of time. Which one do you want to jump on first?
The tariffs, we did something a couple weeks ago. Yep. We've got that April 2nd announcement behind us, and I'm still digesting that. So I'd say let's leave the tariffs behind. Let's talk about the ships.
Okay.
And a bunch of organizations.
Because there's an underlying story there, right?
Right.
That needs to be addressed. That's been the theme of our last several weeks, right?
Right.
How it's being portrayed, and even in a lot of ways, how it's being addressed, are not efficient.
Right.
Right.
And theoretically wrong.
Yes.
So you look at the attempt to, America's behind in the shipbuilding industry.
Okay.
The leaders are China, Japan, and Korea. And they may have involvement with one of the other ones. I've been looking at this for several years now with others in the industry. It's not a new thing to those of us who work with ports. What we're going to do is charge any ship that hits a U.S. port, if the ship was made in China, somewhere is between $500,000 and $3.5 million just for showing up there. And as part of that policy, any ocean carrier company, whether it's bulk or container or ro-ro, if they own a ship that was made in China and they had their Japanese-made ship call at a U.S. port, they still have to pay all of that. That's very extreme. And the whole idea is to make it harder for Chinese shipbuilders to stay in business, make it harder for them to continue to dominate shipbuilding in the world. There's a lot of concern about China dominating key industries that would allow you to catapult yourself into the dominant world power. I mean, quite frankly, nobody wants the Communist Party of China to be the world dominant power. They're dangerous. And the stuff they do to the Uyghurs is horrible. So I get that. That's important. But, you know, the same mistake is being made now because the whole idea of these charges is, you know, this is how we get our ships built in the United States. It doesn't translate. Those fees does not translate to more shipbuilding in America. And the stuff
it's government interference.
No, exactly. The stuff Biden did.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to give money to the chip makers to go build more chip factories. No, you know where that money's going to go, Mark? It's going to go into share buybacks, and it's going to go into higher dividend payments.
Right.
But no, you want the private sector to do something.
Right.
Let them figure out how to do it. All you have to do is say, what does it take to be bankable to do this? 10 years of guaranteed cash flows? 15 years? All right. For the next 15 years, we're going to buy so many millions of chips from you guys unless you sell them at a slightly higher price in the market. But if the market isn't there and you need to sell the chips you're making, we guarantee you that we will buy whatever you make up to a certain amount at this price.
And it's basically as close as we can get to a free market system.
Exactly. You figure it out, Mark. How do you want to do this?
The least amount of government interference.
That's right.
And the opposition that you and I have on whether it's this concept to address shipbuilding or the EVs, right?
Exactly.
You and I are not, for the record, not against EVs. Love it.
Yes.
The concept, right? What we're against is the government interference in the process.
That's right. Because, you know, an easy way to think of it, my big trick in forecasting has always been to use the financial markets, right? If you know how to look at security issuance and trading and volatilities, because you have to look at a lot of things, and you and I have talked about it, you know, a few years ago, you can tease from the financial markets the forecast that you're being paid to do as an economic forecaster. Like, when do I know the economy is going to turn? I look at convertible bond issuance. Why convertible bonds? Because they pay practically no interest. The owner of the bond, if the company does really well, can convert the bond into so many shares. And if the company turned itself around, the shares go from $10 a share to $200 a share just convert your bond, you just made a fortune. What if they don't? Well, you're a bondholder, and if the company folds, you're in line to receive some of the assets. So it's a when that issuance goes up, it means companies are trying to turn the corner. It's an indication that the economy is about to turn. Companies are feeling that if they right themselves, they'll be able to ride the economic momentum. So you look at the financial markets, that tells you a lot. Why the financial markets? Well, a lot of people think that they're run by the president of J.P. Morgan and a couple of stock analysts. They're not. Billions of people buy U.S. stocks, U.S. bonds, commodities, billions of people. And when they're buying and selling, that is the most sincere vote there is. If I'm buying shares in eBay, which we talked about before, if I'm buying shares in eBay, it's my vote. And it's a prediction that we're going to have a recession. Okay. And I want to make money too.
You missed the last podcast, we're long on Walmart and eBay, by the way.
Exactly. We think there's going to be a recession. So, but if I'm buying it, yeah, I want to make money. But it's also an indication that I think, oh, we could be going into a recession. If I know which stocks to look at, which volatilities, which issuance to look at, then I can do that. There's billions of people. And who runs the private sector? Billions of people. And when you have a dictator like Xi or Putin, or at this point, you know, what's been going on in the White House for several administrations, not just the current one, we have a problem. You got one person or a few people who think they're smarter than billions. Dude, I bet on the billions versus the few any day of the week.
Yeah.
There is no way. All the billionaires in the world are stupider than the first billion people on this planet.
And it is, that's the market.
Yeah.
The people are the market.
Exactly.
They run the market. And so interference in that true free market is problematic.
Exactly.
And that's our point. We got some, call it feedback.
Uh-huh.
Some of it
feedback,
was.
People, our shoes got vomit all over them.
A little emotional. But yeah, that's great. I mean, that means people are listening to the podcast. But just to set the record straight, I mean, I love what Hyundai announced yesterday, right? That commitment to technology.
Yes. For those of you who forgot, Mark, you give them some detail.
Well, the announcement yesterday was tens of billions of dollars of investment in the technology on the EV side, but whether it's electric, hydrogen, whatever, it's a technological platform. Mm-hmm. That they, because it's operating inside a free market, are figuring out the most efficient way to do it, which is an online upgrade of the app that's running your vehicle rather than tens of thousands of dollars of equipment.
That's exactly it.
And so that's our point all along. And if you guys are watching this, you'll see this as sort of the underlying narrative in all this. It's just watching the free market not intervening.
You can see the video on WSAV here in Savannah, March 25th. It was an evening broadcast that a young guy went out there, and it was terrific, very useful, and you can find it on their website.
Now, what was the article you sent me? I think it was Korean News yesterday, too, on the Hyundai announcement.
Or was it Reuters?
You texted it to me. Anyway. Yeah. Regardless, the point
being... it was Jim who sent it to us.
The point is that it's not interfering, not creating artificial stimulus or drag on the free market system. Right?
Exactly. Look, if there's war, then the government has to intervene and command the resources so they can protect the country. We get that. But unless you're really there, come on. Let what made America great continue to make America great.
Yeah. So we've got about a minute
left. By the way, that is the better way.
What is the takeaway on the better way? We've touched on a few things, but just to sort of wrap it up.
Yeah. Provide an incentive to the private sector to do what it does best.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't tell them what to do, and here's the money to do it. Here's what we'd like to see done. We will guarantee you enough money so that you can go to the banks and say, look, the government said for sure we'll get at least this much money. So we want to borrow And the fact that we're going to get these dollars from the government in the future is what guarantees that we can pay it. Make it bankable. That's all we ask. Just say you're going to buy it, make it bankable, and let the private sector do what it does best.
Figure out the best possible product created in the most efficient manner possible.
Exactly. And then right. came Bernie Sanders and... No!
Trivia question. $50 gift certificate to Applebee's for the first one to email us the Gong Show host name.
That's right. Right. Please do. Don't forget. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Always great.
Walter. Take care. See y'all.
Thanks, man.